This is always one of my favorite Sundays of the year. Even though church attendance is usually down by a significant number on the day after Lobster Fest, still it is one of my favorite days. Not primarily because Lobster Fest is behind us and we have 364 more days, more or less, until it happens again, but because I love the feeling I have looking back and reflecting on what an amazing example of Christ's love and radical hospitality is displayed during this day, Lobster Fest. One thing that has stuck out for me since I first came to Grace and witnessed this event called Lobster Fest is that this event is a great leveler. There are really no social barriers when it comes to working on Lobster Fest. Doctors and lawyers haul out overflowing garbage cans and wipe down tables dirtied with crumbs and drips. Bankers and business owners work alongside secretaries and janitors. There's no shortage of smiles and offers to help crack lobsters, give directions, or just generally be hospitable. On this particular day each year, Grace Church exhibits kingdom living, the radical hospitality of Christ. And while this great outpouring of love and work is exhausting, it's the kind of exhaustion that really feels good. We know we've had a glimmer and shown those who walked in our doors a glimmer of what it truly means to be the people of God, and it fills our hearts with gladness. Lest we be too filled with our own righteousness, we hear the opening lines of the gospel reading from Luke today. Jesus told a parable to some who trusted themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Thank God we're off the hook with that one today. We may be feeling a little righteous for a job well done, but we have not regarded others with contempt, at least in any way that I'm aware of. As a matter of fact, I'd say just the opposite is true. As I said, Lobster Fest is a great leveler and an example of radical hospitality to all. Still, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is an important parable for us to remember, because I think if we're honest, that we have to admit that more often than not, and more often than we want to admit, we find ourselves in the role of that Pharisee. I'm glad I don't have to count the number of times I have secretly thought, thank God I'm not like her or him or them. Thank God I'm not shallow or petty or self-righteous. Oops. Snagged by that dastardly Pharisee that lurks in all of us, waiting for the opportune moment to jump up and convince us that we are somehow superior to other folks. Sometimes, though, we may actually be like that tax collector, one who is deeply aware of our own failings, the missed opportunities to reach out and show or share God's love, the ignoring of the needs of those around us, our spouses, our children, our co-workers, our friends, and our acknowledgement of the ways we fail and fall short. We reach out to God and beg for a new start, a new chance. We go to God deeply aware of our flawed nature, pour out our hearts and come away clean, able to start trying to do better from that moment on. The most difficult thing in the world for us to do, I think, is to suspend our judgmentalism. We are hardwired constantly to make decisions about people and situations that we encounter. And often, this is a built-in safety measure, one that keeps us from entering a dangerous situation, which would lead us to harm, to be hurt or killed. If I'm walking down the street alone and decide to take a shortcut down an alley and see a group of unshaven, disheveled-looking men in that alley, I'll probably decide to go down the alley is not the safest plan. Some judgment is necessary, but we must be careful when we begin making judgments about people, lest we look in the mirror and see the face of the Pharisee squarely looking back at us. Over the last couple of years, we've had a couple of homeless folks that have been in and out of our church doors with some regularity. One is a young man who lives on the streets and bathes infrequently and has mental health issues. Ironically, he shares the name of our current Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin. Justin has made a lot of us uncomfortable for a variety of reasons, and some of those reasons are valid. But sometimes we need to be uncomfortable. Being uncomfortable sometimes leads us to act in ways that actually help. What you may not know about Justin is that when he is here, he always gives money to the church. Justin lives on a disability check of about $650 a month. Last spring, he walked in and handed me $85 that he wanted to give to the church. I took it and put it aside, knowing that he would need it later in the month, which he did. But the point is still not lost. Justin wanted to give to the church because he felt connected. I thought you should know that. The other homeless person that visits and considers herself a part of this church is well-dressed and well-spoken and educated. You may not even be aware that she lives in her car. She has friends all around and can stay with them when the weather is cold, as it has been recently. But she lives in her car a great majority of the time, surrounded from top to bottom by stuff. And because she is clean and well-spoken, she doesn't make us uncomfortable. She too gives to the church and helps out with our beans and rice ministry almost every month. Not as one who receives beans and rice, but as one who sorts and bags and gives out. And I'm telling you these things because I don't want you to be unaware of the fullness of who these two folks are. And in knowing that, you might realize that there's more to every person that enters these doors than meets the eye. Sometimes our judgments are right and keep us safe, and sometimes they are not. And we need to be open to all possibilities when we encounter other children of God in whatever form they arrive at our doors. I wonder what it would take for us to extend our Lobster Fest hospitality to more than one day. I wonder how it is that we can suspend our judgmentalism, our Pharisaic nature, for one day and then pick it back up on Monday morning or maybe even Sunday afternoon. It's not that we do this intentionally, but it sneaks back up on us like a bad cold. One minute we're feeling fine, the love of Christ is exuding through every face, and in no time again we're feeling a little resentment that no one else is cleaning up, and that so-and-so dropped the ball, and thus and such are worse even. Someone came in and wouldn't do it the way I've always done it, or the way it's always been done. Or someone comes to the doors that doesn't look like us, or smell very good, or behave in ways we would normally expect. And then there's that darn Pharisee rearing his ugly head once again. It's like that first sneeze that's followed by the dripping nose, itchy throat, and in no time at all becomes a full-blown cold. For the cold, there's all sorts of remedies. But there's only one cure for the self-righteous Pharisee, and that's forgiveness. Forgiveness of ourselves and of each other is the cure, the opportunity to start again, to begin from that moment on, clean and with a clear conscience. I am convinced that God appreciates our trying each and every time. We're going to fall short over and over and over again. That Pharisee that hides in each of us is probably never going to totally go away. But the longer it lies dormant, the better. Thank God for his grace and forgiveness. And thank you all for the moments that we shine with his love, as we do during Lobster Fest. Amen.